I'm Joy Jackson, and this is a report about what we saw and experienced in Japan. Ron and I, along with my friend Melinda,
hi,
went to Japan for 14 days on a tour led by Melinda's brother Steve. We went on October 20 to November 3rd, 2013. Steve has lived in Japan on and off for a number of years. He speaks fluent Japanese as well as reads Japanese, which was a great benefit. And he'd been there a lot, so he had things he wanted to show off. With his assistance, we explored parts of Tokyo in the first 4 days, saw Yokohama as a day trip, explored parts of Kyoto for 5 days, saw Nara as a day trip, had 2 days in a ryokan, or Japanese inn, in Takayama. Then we went up to the Japanese Alps, took a day tour to Shiragawa, spent a day in Matsumoto, and ended our tour back in Tokyo for the last 2 days. In Tokyo, we used trains and subways, but after that, we found that it was a cost savings to take taxis for 4 people. Because I was already scheduled to do this little chat, when I was in Japan, I was paying attention to what the blind might encounter.
Blind great coat. He's blind.
Oh yeah.
Look at that. He's trying to get past the sign.
To start with, I'd like to say that Japan is accessible to the blind. I only saw a couple of blind in Tokyo, but Japan has been concerned with the blind since early in their history. Emperor Sanjo ruled from 1011 to 1016 until he abdicated at the age of 40 because of his growing blindness. In the 1880s, the Japanese adopted the Japanese version of Braille, and they established schools for the blind. I found Braille to be everywhere. But you know, it's in Japanese. It's based on their 56-character alphabet, plus a character that indicates consonant or vowel. There is a Japan Braille Library in Tokyo dating from 1940. It provides talking books, Daisy audio cassette and audio CD, Braille books, Braille printing service, recording service, digital library services, PC training programs, Braille training programs, and sells about 1,200 products for the blind. Japanese Braille was developed in 1887 from the original Braille.
Walking around, starting in the sidewalks, usually you see a row of embedded tiles about 1 foot square. Each of them has 4 parallel ridges, and you, with your cane, you can go up and down the sidewalk and feel these ridges and decide where it's safe to walk. Occasionally, when the rows cross each other or the path direction changes, you'll see another row with a bunch of round bumps in them. This indicates when you need to be cautious or the path changes. You could see this both in subways also had these paths, and especially lots of the yellow bumps right next to where the trains go so that you don't walk out and get sideswiped.
There's Braille on hotel rooms, in the elevators, and at the top and bottom of the handrails at stairs and the train stations. There's Braille in the cans of alcohol sold in stores and vending machines. The dots on them indicate they are sake, or alcohol. So even beer is denoted as sake. I don't know if there are any restaurant menus in Braille. There are maps at the train stations that have Braille on them. In Edo Museum, they have small replicas of some of their exhibits with Braille on them so that the blind can feel what the exhibit might be like.
The Japanese are in the process of working with guide dogs. There are very few of them at present, maybe 1,000 guide dogs in Japan, with 10 guide dog schools breeding 130 to 140 guide dogs a year. Breeding guide dogs started in the early 1957, but they are still having trouble being admitted to restaurants, hotels, hospitals, and public transport. Most guide dogs in Japan are Golden Labs. If you go to Japan, you need a passport for your dog.
You get the passport for the dog at the guide dog schools rather than the government. Before we leave the subject of the blind, there has been a very successful samurai film series called Sato Ichi. He is a swordsman, and he's blind, usually masquerading as an unarmed wanderer with powerful hearing, spatial location awareness, acute observation and personal insights from his blindness, intense concentration and self-discipline. He is a professional masseur, gambler, and occasional freelance yakuza. Oh, that's a gangster. He is a sogi, or chess master, accomplished in hand-to-hand, sumo wrestling, as well as throwing and archery. He plays the shamisen, but apologizes before singing. There are 26 films and 3 television series. He usually carries his sword hidden inside of a cane. I might have to borrow a couple.
It was a little warmer than it is in Seattle for this time of year. The trees had just begun to change colors. My brother Steve wore mostly short-sleeved shirts. It sprinkled a little, and I saw a lot of clear umbrellas pop up all over the first drop. And the one time it rained pretty heavily, we were inside a kabuki theater that day. It was pretty scary to see bicyclists with umbrellas. Steve mentioned seeing a bicycle rider, one hand for the umbrella and the other hand texting on a cell phone. How was he steering the bicycle? With his feet? Or was it in a case of people seeing him and getting out of the way?
This trip to Japan was the first time Ron and I tried to travel light, using only a roller bag normally used as a carry-on plus a backpack. We were going to be using every mode of transport in Japan, with the exception of the rickshaw, and a big suitcase would be a big hassle. We went on the bullet train, the express and local trains, subways, streetcars, buses, and taxis. We saw Shinto shrines, Buddhist temples, samurai castles, and summer estates, gardens of all sorts, museums inside buildings, and buildings themselves as museums. We ate so much Japanese food that by day 12, I got really tired of it, something I didn't think would happen. I shopped for new kimonos at stores and used ones at a flea market. We stayed at newer hotels in Tokyo, the Hotel Sunroot Plaza Shinjuku and Washington Hotel Shinjuku. In Kyoto, Hotel Gimond, which was an older hotel, and then we stayed at a Japanese ryokan, or an inn, in Takayama. In Matsumoto, we stayed at Tokoyo Inn, which donates money to a number of charities, including blind ones.
The hotels had an interesting collection of things for our guest. Some had yukatas, which are kimonos made out of cotton, and similar to your bathrobe, with a very long belt to tie around you. Some hotels had nightshirts instead, starched and pressed, but about a size 8, and Joy couldn't even get on one. Then there were slippers to use in a minuscule bathroom, about the size of a bathroom on an RV or a jet plane. Supplies that were found in the bathroom included toothbrush, comb, plastic disposable hairbrush, shower cap, a disposable razor, large dispensers of shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and lotion, and a hair dryer. Most hotel rooms had small refrigerators. All had 2 teacups, hot pot and green tea for either afternoon break or breakfast.
The closets in the first hotel we stayed only had 3 hangers, and that wasn't enough for all the clothes that we brought. So we went off to a store and bought a group of 10 of them, which we then split between our 2 groups and carried them to our next hotel. Some of the hotels insisted that you deposit your key in a small receptacle in the room near the door. This enabled the lights to work, otherwise the lights were out. Other hotels used real keys, but you had to give them back at the main desk every time you left the building, which was somewhat inconvenient. You retrieved these keys when you came back, and just by giving your name. The beds were quite hard, and the pillows acted as though they were filled with plastic macaroni, or maybe peanut shells.
Here we come to a subject that everyone wants to know but is embarrassed to talk about. If I could find them, I preferred a Western toilet. The Japanese toilet is a porcelain oval hole in the floor with a raised hood at one end. I used one 3 times with varying degrees of success or failure. I don't know how they do it. The Western toilet seat, however, is heated. And when you sit on it, you hear the sound of running water. Well, I found it a little confusing because sometimes I couldn't tell if I were finished. The running water is actually pouring into a reservoir for the bidet function, to wash your bottom or perhaps even the front. There's a stop button to halt the process of spraying. All of those buttons were brailled. They had a disinfectant station so you could spray disinfectant on some toilet paper and clean the seat. The next thing that was time-consuming was figuring out how to flush it, because the instructions are all in, guess what, Japanese. And none of the units were the same. I considered myself lucky if the toilet had a handle or a metal lever on it, like you'd find in public toilets. I knew what to do with that. On the trains, the bathroom was Western and twice as large as the bathrooms in the hotel rooms.
Pass.
おはようございます.
Pass. Morning. Pass.
Oil.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes?
Sir Toramon.
For a taste of the real Japan, we stayed at a Japanese inn for 2 nights. We entered the lobby, where we left our street shoes on the stone floor. Then we maneuvered our way up 2 steps and put on our house slippers. Mama-san needed to clean the wheels of the luggage before she let them go on her carpet. She showed us to our rooms, slid open the rice paper wall, and then you take off your slippers and walk on straw tatami mat. There was a low table in the middle of the room with 2 chairs on the floor, a piece of flat material for the seat, plus a pillow or cushion, and an upright back. Mama-san made fresh green tea, gave us a couple of crackers, and left us to recover. On 2 sides of Ron's room, my room only had one, was an outer room where we could open the windows and look down at the interior garden and listen to the waterfall.
We went out for dinner, rather than arranging to have the dinner in the ryokan. And when we came back, the luggage was all up in the room, the table was stashed in the corner. In the middle of the room were now 2 futon beds on the floor. The toilet for the whole inn was down the hall, and when you got there, then you had to exchange your house slippers for toilet slippers, do your business, change back to the house slippers. The slippers actually said toilet on them. From 4 to 9, you can sample the hot bath, where you wash first and then rinse, and then soak in the hot tub. The Japanese breakfast was in the morning. The second night, I located where the futons were, and I put 3 underneath me, so that it was a little more comfortable for me to get some sleep. The pillows must have contained something like sand. They were very hard. You find a lot of Japanese inns around the areas that have hot springs or onsen, where instead of soaking in a hot bath, you soak in natural hot springs. We chose not to do that.
The words you heard entering a shop or a restaurant were, Ohayou gozaimasu. In a restaurant, the waitress would hand you a warm, damp washcloth to refresh hands and face. We wound up using it as a napkin because the napkins, when there were any, were tiny and had the strength of Kleenex. 1 menu per table, always in Japanese. With luck, you could get one in English. The meals arrived with many small dishes, small portions in each dish. Every meal had a lot of the same ingredients, miso soup, green salad, bowl of rice, teaspoon of potato salad, small dish of seaweed, small dish of Japanese pickled vegetables, and your main dish might be four or five slices of skewers of food that you ate with your rice. No soy sauce. Tables only had chopsticks on them, reusable wooden ones in a trim box on the table, or the ones you break apart and are then thrown away after use. I'll bet you could get a fork if you begged for it, but we were very used to chopsticks. Many shops had a display of their food done in plastic on the fronts of the shop, so there were times that you took the waitress out there and pointed to the one you wanted. A number of restaurants specialized in the kind of food they serve, like yakitori, meat skewers. Steve referred to the Japanese diet as if it were on a starvation diet at the end of winter. Contrasting tastes are important. No wonder the Japanese are thin.
There are two different religions in Japan, Shinto, which is Japanese, and Buddhism from China. Shinto dealt with a pantheon of gods called kami, focused on animalistic and humans. People have their birth and wedding ceremonies are done in Shinto religion, while your funeral is done in a Buddhist ceremony.
The Shinto shrines are obvious because of the torii gate, two round pillars, frequently in orange paint, with a horizontal crossbar near the top and a sweeping crossbar across the top of the gate. You bow as you enter a torii gate, and each one is lucky. Do not walk in the center of the torii, because that's for the dead. Take off your cap. Purify your hands and mouth with the water caught out of a fountain with a bamboo dipper with a long handle. You rinse each hand, rinse your mouth out, and then rinse the handle of the dipper. Then you approach the shrine by stepping over any threshold. You take off your shoes, toss your coin offering into the box that has four or five pieces of wood diagonally on their slides over the opening, with one edge up in the vertical position. Ring the bell to get the god's attention. Take two respectful bows with your hands together in front of you. Clap your hands twice. Concentrate on your prayer. Bow deeply once more, and back away from the praying area, not turning your back on it. There were many different buildings in the complex and a lot of little charms that you can buy at each shrine, as well as special food to nibble on. Shrines we went to, Meiji Shrine, Tokyo, and the Shrine for the Kumare, or the Lucky Rake Festival. Ushimi Inari Taisha, Fox Goddess Shrine, Kyoto, Sakuryama, Hachiman, and Museum of Festival Floats, Takayama.
The Buddhist temples are similar to the Shinto shrines, except there is a massive gate before the temple, guarded on each side by two huge statues. The openings covered with wire to keep the pigeons out. You might see a pagoda as part of the grounds, which is a multi-storied tower with multiple tile roofs. You buy an incense stick and light it, placing it in the small fire pavilion. Then wave the smoke toward yourself, particularly to the areas that hurt. Approach the inner shrine. Observe the resident Buddha. Take your shoes off. Wear nice socks. Photography is okay. Don't clap your hands. You pray silently with your hands together in front of you. At the Kozomisu Temple in Kyoto, we paid to take a stroll in the dark downstairs underneath the temple, carrying our shoes in one hand with the other hand on the handrail. And the handrail changed into large Buddhist beads that you felt along. It was completely dark. Towards the end of the journey, we saw the wheel of stone with carvings, and you turned it to have it grant your wish.
Temples we visited? Many. Tokyo, Sensoji, Yokohama, the Temple of the Goddess of the Sea, Kyoto, Kiyomizu, and Ginkajuni, Temple of the Silver Pavilion, which was always painted black because its owner never got around to gilding it with silver.
At Tadaiji Temple in Nara, we were there with hundreds of Japanese schoolchildren of various ages, all in their school uniforms and headgear. They were in large groups led by a guide. Also in Nara, the deer park, where small Japanese deer about the size of goats aggressively begged for flat baked crackers that you could buy from a vendor.
Castles were part of the Shogun era, which ended in 1868, and were samurai bases. They were made of wood, and both the towns and the castles were always burning down. Nijo Castle in Kyoto was built to house the samurai when they came into town to confer with the emperor. One of the two large buildings had rooms to receive politicians. No furniture, only tatami mats, and people knelt on the floor. If you needed a piece of furniture, like a desk, you'd bring it in. This is not a desk that you'd sit in a chair, you sit on the floor. The main decorations were paintings on the rice paper wall. The floors were designed to creak loudly as you walked on them, as a security measure, and they are called nightingale floors. And you thought they just did that in your own home. Matsumoto Castle in Matsumoto was one of the few castles left in its original state. Made of wood, it was 6 stories tall. Steve, Ron, and I climbed the stairs to all 6 levels in the castle, shoes in hand with hundreds of people. They were extremely steep. Ron said that the stairs were 51 to 60 degree angle, and the height of each tread was 40 centimeters. They were so steep that I opted to sit on one tread, and I couldn't touch the next one down. I was 1 or 2 inches too short. The 2 steepest stairs, I basically sat and went down that way. How did the short samurai do it? Otherwise, it was a 2-step process for each tread. Magnificent views at the top and a magnificent collection of weapons throughout the castle. All of the walls had both arrow and gun ports in them.
Takayama Jinja is the only remaining prefectural office building from the Tokugawa shogunage. The complex of buildings interconnected by covered hallways contained the government offices, which were a reception hall and small rooms for handling details, a rice granary storehouse, a garden, kitchen, as well as a torture chamber, since trials were also the shogun's business. In addition, there were rooms where the high official and his wife slept. All of these rooms, with the exception of the kitchen and the torture room, had tatami mat floors. The rice warehouse had wooden floors. We were there just before closing as it got dark around us. When we left a portion of the building, someone would nip in and shut the doors behind us. That was a little spooky. We learned that the samurai were paid in rice. We also saw Shojimiki, a merchant's house in Takayama, a huge wooden building, 3 stories plus, areas for rice storage and sake distillery. Living quarters were in one section and the commercial warehouse in another.
We saw lots of gardens, along with their viewing pavilions. Even the countryside looked like a manicured garden. There were Buddhist temples with monasteries. You saw in Kyoto, Kinkaruji, the gold pavilion. There were water features, some with falling water sounds, the sounds of birds in the water, and peace with silence. Some gardens were large rocks surrounded by manicured gravel, making them resemble islands in an ocean. Other gardens were designed to be viewed by moonlight. Steve was quite fond of pointing out that the gardens or the lakes were all man-made. You know, the Japanese have been improving on nature for centuries.
The Shinkansen is the high-speed train in Japan, and it runs at 150 to 200 miles per hour. There are a number of ways to get to your destination by train, and the faster you want to get there, the more expensive is the ticket. It's 330 miles from Tokyo to Osaka. Before the Shinkansen, it took 6 hours and 40 minutes to get to Osaka on the Limited Express. On the Shinkansen, it takes 2.5 hours. They started constructing the system in 1959 and finished it in 1964 in time for the Olympics. The Shinkansen runs on a regular gauge track, which is 1,425 millimeters wide, while most of the other railroads run on narrow gauge track, which is 1,067 millimeters wide. The Shinkansen railroad bed is banked for turns, since it's traveling so fast. There are no railroad crossings, and the road is either elevated or in tunnels. The rails are very long and joined by expansion joints, so that it is a very smooth ride, except for when another train passes you or you enter a tunnel, which sounds like this. The coaches are air-sealed, and the seats all face forward. They can be turned around at the end of each run. Each seat has a head cloth, which is changed at the end of each run. The trains run on 25,000-volt overhead AC power lines. In contrast, the streetcars in Seattle run on 400 volts DC. Half of the axles on each coach are powered by electrical motors, so there's really no locomotive at the end or the beginning of the train. At the end of each car is a glass door. To open it, you push lightly on a raised metal area at waist level and the door slides open. In 49 years, there had been no passenger fatalities due to derailments in spite of earthquakes and typhoons. There has been one death due to being crushed by the doors, however. There also has been numerous suicides by people jumping in front of the train, in spite of the staff giving special attention to this all the time.
JR 東日本をご利用くださいましてありがとうございます。この列車は特急あずさ12号新宿行きです。途中塩尻、岡谷、下諏訪、上諏訪、茅野、小淵沢、甲府、八王子、立川に停まります。自由席は3号車から5号車、グリーン車は8号車の一部です。車内はデッキ、トイレを含めまして全て禁煙です。トイレは3号車、5号車、7号車、8号車、10号車にあります。お客様にお願いいたします。座席での携帯電話のご使用は周りのお客様のご迷惑となりますので、デッキでご使用ください。次は塩尻に停まります。
Conductors check your ticket on board and sell you the additional price if you didn't buy the right ticket to begin with. The staff also push a cart of food and drinks to sell to you en route. Vending machines and bathrooms are at either end of each car. Ron and I really enjoyed watching the scenery out of the trains and the buses. Seeing the houses and the apartment buildings, the laundry drying on the balconies, particularly on Saturdays, the small gardens, or as much as they can possibly have. The balconies never had any plants on them. In the Alps, the trees were just beginning to change colors. The persimmon trees were all in fruit, big orange-colored fruit, the size of an orange or a pomegranate, but more like an apple, eaten skin and all. The rice paddies could be seen everywhere, with the raised edges around each one on every side to capture the water. The rice had all been harvested and will be replanted in April. Many folks have tea plants. They were kind of obvious because of their manicured look.
An interesting story about Japanese curry. curry rice was introduced to Japan by English soldiers who had served in India. When the Brits landed in Japan, they wanted the brown gravy to which they were accustomed to be served at restaurants. So it moved ashore, and the Japanese liked it. This is not the same kind of curry that you get at Indian restaurants, but a brown sauce that is only a little spicy. Origi naru curry. Western-style curry draws its influence from stews mixed from curry powder, which were popular among the British Navy. The Imperial Japanese Navy adopted curry from the Royal Navy, and now the Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Forces Friday menu is curry rice.
Snapshots from Japan. Karaoke done in a small room in a five-storied building of small rooms. The company called Joy Sound, or sometimes Joy Joy. It was difficult to get a song that all four of us knew. We finally settled on a song called, in America, Sukiyaki. Steve could sing it from the Japanese lyrics. I could sing it from memory in Japanese.
涙がこぼれないように思い出す春の日一人ぼっちのように上を向いて歩こうにじんだ星を
Sushi in Kyoto. Five chefs work in the middle of a circular conveyor belt with dishes of rice and fish placed on the belt. It was 137 yen per plate, which is about $1.37, and Joy and I had 13 plates for dinner, one more than Steve and Melinda. Very nice fresh fish.
The bidet function on the Western toilet in Japan.
Japanese toilets.
Buying tickets for various transport at automated ticket machines in the train stations.
Taking trains and taxis.
And the taxis all had white cotton covers on both the front seats and the back seat. Some of them were fairly elaborate with lace patterns in them. Clearly, they were there to protect the seats and everything and could be easily cleaned. Different. Sleeping on the floor of a ryokan.
Drinking powdered green tea, the preferred drink of Japan. Turns bitter if you let it steep more than 5 seconds, though.
Buying food from an automated machine in a fast food restaurant. You make a selection at the machine, put your coins in, and get a receipt in return. You hand the receipt to the waitress who brings the food.
Japanese potato chips, spiced with something a little different. Could those be little tiny flakes of seaweed? Living chrysanthemum bonsai plants, artistically growing over stones and rocks, as if they were done by flower rangers. Beautiful.
Seeing the Japanese celebrating at temples and shrines in kimonos.
Attending festivals and seeing the Japanese enjoying themselves.
No trash cans anywhere, but very clean streets and buildings.
Small, crowded side streets with shoulder-to-shoulder, one-room-wide buildings.
Most of the side streets had no names. Addresses on buildings were done in chronological order of when they were built.
And the police had a hard time finding where anybody was. And every area had a map on a corner to give you a clue as to where you might want to go. Ron washing socks in the bathroom in Kyoto and them not drying for 3 days.
So many Japanese girls and women in short skirts and black tights with heeled pumps.
Japanese men in elegant suits and ties or skinny jeans and tennis shoes.
The courtesy of the Japanese to give Melinda their seat in the subway or train after seeing her age in cane.
My computer getting hacked on the second day in Tokyo. Definitely the worst thing about the whole trip. Did we have fun? You bet we did. Did we learn a lot? Absolutely. Would we go again? Twist my arm.
素晴らしい愛をもう一度赤トンボの歌を歌った空は何も変わっていないけれど、あの時ずっと夕焼けを追いかけていた二人の心と心が、今はもう通わないあの素晴らしい愛をもう一度、あの素晴らしい愛をもう一度。広い荒野にポツンといるよって涙が知らずに溢れてくるのさ。あの時風が流れても変わらないと言った二人の心と心が、今はもう通わないあの素晴らしい
Oh, my goodness. This was a production, you guys. We want to thank Joy and Ron and our best to Melinda. You guys really took the time to put this together, and this means so very much. This is so good, and we thank you. Is there anyone who has questions? I've got some, but I want to let others ask questions here. This is just so exciting. I want to go to Japan and visit.
Well, that's very nice. I noticed a couple of errors that I'll fix later on. But I wanted to also share that the song at the end, part of the lyric is Mo'o Ichido, which means one more time. I thought it was appropriate to end it that way.
Wonderful, wonderful presentation, Joy and Ron and your friend Melinda, too. I do have a question. When I heard what was either the subway or train, I heard this little thing that sounded like music or a clock. Did that indicate when you were getting to a stop, or what was that?
Yeah, we had a lot of announcing, and then they had tones. And I think it was actually more of leaving a stop. The train was getting ready to leave.
Yeah, getting ready to close its doors to leave.
All the three of you did a great job, and what a super production. I have just a minor question here. You mentioned that on the train there was a door at the end of each car, and you a glass door, and you'd hit the bar or whatever on the waist high. Did that open to the outside? If so, I sure hope they had a rail there or something so people couldn't fall out. Or I suppose if they were going to jump, they could get over it. But that sounds pretty dangerous.
No. This was an interior door, and it was silent, particularly on the Shinkansen. You couldn't hear it at all. The door just slid sideways into its little holder on the side. And then you'd walk between the two cars, which was totally enclosed all around, so where the restroom was. And you'd have to go through another door to get to the interior of the car following you.
This was so interesting. You covered so many different things. That was fascinating. Near the end, you mentioned that the side streets had no addresses. They just had numbers indicating when the buildings were built. How did you, if you wanted to go to one of those places, how could you communicate to a cab driver where you wanted to go? And how did they deliver the mail? How do people write addresses if these places don't have them?
Those are good questions. I can tell you that if you've been to a place before, like if you're trying to tell your taxi driver that you want to go back to your hotel, you get a business card with a hotel. On the back of every business card is a map of where it is. But the problem with the addresses is, the first house, number one, was the first one built. The second house built in that area may be two streets away. Very confusing. The police have a lot of hard time, too, and GPS is helping a great deal with this. A lot of the little side streets do not have any names on them. The big streets do, so it's kind of a confusing thing. You probably have a lot of people that call up their friend and say, okay, let's meet at this restaurant, rather than trying to find the home.
I was curious, what does your Steve do in Japan?
Steve works as a consultant for a Japanese company. I don't know what it's called. He has worked for them off and on. He, at one point, worked for NOAA, the U.S. government folks, and got involved with Japanese stuff. And then he worked for Wang, the computer people. And in fact, while we were there, Steve went off and saw some of his buddies from Wang. Anything else?
Hawaiian Telephone.
He worked for Hawaiian Telephone and spent a number of times going to Japan to sell the Hawaiian Telephone phone system to the various U.S. bases. A very versatile person. He also happens to be, 6'1", very blonde.
One quick last thing. When did he start learning Japanese? I've heard it's one of the hardest languages to speak well by an American, that its grammar and the way it does is very different from English. Did he start in college?
Actually, when he was 7, his family, including Melinda, went to Japan for 3 years. Of course, he didn't learn Japanese then because they were living on a U.S. base. but he fell in love with Japan. When they came to Japan, they were on a U.S. naval ship, and it was supposed to take 2 weeks to get to Japan. It took 3 weeks because there was a typhoon, and they kept having to rescue people. But as they made Japan harbor, there was Mount Fuji shining as the sun came up. He fell in love with it and has been fascinated by it ever since. After he stopped working for NOAA, he went to Japan and lived there for about 5 years to learn Japanese. There are 1,800 characters for everybody to learn in Japan, and Steve knows 1,600 of them. He's got 200 to go.
Hello, Joy. This is Gary. What is the drinking water like over there? How was that?
It was perfect. The Japanese are very particular about how clean their water is. In years past, where they would go up to streams and fountains to get their water, the first time the water came out of the ground, they would call that a tea water fountain, meaning you would go there with your teapot, and that was the best water there was. So they always had that designation at any of these temples and monasteries and whatever. Purity is a very special thing to the Japanese, probably which is one of the reasons why the tsunami was so horrible. But yeah, you drink it everywhere. The various vending machines, they will sell bottled water to you. A lot of people drink it that way. But most people just drink it right out of the tap.
Oh, so interesting. Two questions. Did you make it to the Sony factory? That's my dream, to go to the Sony factory. And do they have talking audible traffic signals? We heard they have some very good ones in Japan that tell you when to cross streets.
We actually did go to the Sony building. We didn't go to the factory, but we went to the Sony building, and it has 4 floors. Of their hot-to-trot newest things. Naturally, Sony no longer makes the thing that I use the most of, which is a mini disc. But we saw all sorts of elaborate things. Shoot, what was the second question?
It was about the signals at the stop.
Oh, the signals. I came this close to getting my recorder out in Takayama because the signal at the corner there was so different from what I normally hear. But they had, you know, a cheap as well as something else. But this one had a different cadence than I normally hear.
The chimes, and they're different from one block to the next.
I mean, like instead of cheap, 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 it was cheap, cheap, cheap. And I couldn't get Steve to slow down to let me record.
Are people pretty much wearing Western clothing, or do they wear the traditional, the traditional Japanese clothing, or... And how about English? Is it spoken very much or at all?
We saw more people in kimonos than I would have thought, but they're out as a special ceremony kind of thing, like on Sundays. That's when I saw people in kimonos, but I was glad to see that they were, both male and female. And I saw one family that was immaculately clad in silk kimonos, the father and the wife and the two daughters. It was gorgeous. Otherwise... You see everybody in Western dress, a lot of suits and ties, nicer suits than I've ever seen here, because they use a lot of silk. And the girls all wear short skirts. You know, you don't see any fat Japanese, so they're all nicely shaped. And if they're not wearing short skirts, then they've got on these skinny jeans. Not bell bottoms or anything else, but skinny jeans with tennis shoes. Very much like here.
Well, the English is taught in the schools. So I think it starts in the 5th grade. They're supposed to take a certain number of years.
And they're planning to start in the 3rd grade.
The announcements on the trains were both in Japanese and in English. Sometimes you couldn't quite understand the dialect of the person talking in English, but at least they made an attempt at it. And all this... The street signs and the subway stops all had English translations of the stop name in addition to the Chinese or Japanese characters.
Yeah, and they call that Romaji, where it's actually looking like English letters would look, but it's all in Japanese.
Interesting. What side of the road do the taxis and so on drive? I'm assuming they drive... opposite us? And also, are there many private cars, or do most people take the train or the subway or taxi?
Okay, they drive on the left.
The British.
Yeah, and it's the big streets are all very congested. There's an awful lot of cars. The big problem is people making a right turn means if you're in the left side of the road, you get out in the middle of the intersection, and then there's probably 100 or 200 people crossing at the crosswalk. So the cars sit there for quite a while until the people get out of the crosswalk. The big train station that we were near, they say there's 2 million people a day going to that train station.
And if you're trying to cross a railroad track, sometimes you can't do that because there's too many trains.
You know, the typical trains in Tokyo going out to the suburbs run about every 5 minutes.
Right. Including the high-speed ones.
Wow, that's really amazing. When you were in the bigger cities like Tokyo and Osaka, were there a lot of American businesses there? And if so, were they predominantly food businesses? And then what about the smaller cities? Did they have very many American businesses?
Well, the one business we saw everywhere was McDonald's.
Yeah, but there's most in the big city, Tokyo and things, they have a lot of the upper-end shops like you find in New York City, big, fancy, expensive. The Japanese are generally pretty wealthy. So the high-end sales stuff is very popular there.
Like Saks Fifth Avenue and...
Yeah, those type of stores.
Louis Vuitton.
On the main streets have those big stores. The smaller towns, you know, have... You know, a small number of stores. Of course, they're not as wealthy in the small town, so you don't have the big, high expensive stores. But there's a number of American stores there. But I'm sure a lot of them are, you know, obviously managed and run by Japanese as franchises.
Well, and a lot of stores that you see here, you know, they belong in Japan. You know, Sony, for instance, Japanese. Mitsubishi, of course, that's Japanese. So there's, and Honda, yeah. So there are a lot of cars. If you're living in Tokyo, for instance, or in a big city, you don't have to have a car because there's so much public transportation. I mean, you've got trains, and then you've got subways, and you've got, you know, all sorts of things that you can get from one place to another.
So Steve told us that if you wanted to buy a car, and if you lived in Tokyo, you had to show that you had a parking place for it before they let you buy one.
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw some interesting parking things. We would be on the train, and there was a two-story... No, we were walking down the street in Kyoto, and they'd have these little racks that you'd have one car on the ground floor and the other car up on a rack. So they were using double duty. We also saw the same thing for bicycles out at train stations out in the suburbs.
Yeah, lots of bicycle racks.
Lots of bicycle racks.
What about tipping in restaurants? Is that done there?
No tipping. No tipping. If you tip, the waitress comes running after you because she thinks you've made a mistake. So there's no tipping in Japan.
No sales tax.
And no sales tax. What you see on the menu is basically what you have to pay.
And the prices for eating out in normal restaurants is about the same as in the U.S. It's not significantly more expensive.
An interesting thing, Steve was talking about how harmonious the Japanese were. How harmonious they were. And I said, and what about World War II? And what about all these samurais that would roam around killing each other? You know, it's hard to go against the feeling of history, even recent history. But I guess if you want to call them harmonious, you can do that.
Well, speaking of that, you mentioned the police have problems finding anything. Is the crime rate, I always heard it was very low in Japan. Is it low in cities like Tokyo and Osaka?
Yes, it is. It really is quite low. There doesn't seem to be too much, you know, people seldom get mugged or, you know, or lose your wallet or anything like that. So.
And they don't worry about somebody rifling their pack if they leave it someplace.
And the other thing is all those kids from school are in uniforms, and they all get on the subways and the trains by themselves, and nobody worries about it.
even if they're 5 or 6 years old.
There's nobody worried about, you know, kids getting kidnapped off a train. So, they're, you know, it's very peaceful that way.
I mean, everybody actually is watching. I really was pleased that they, when we'd get on a train, and Melinda, who's only 71, but she's got a knee that doesn't work real well, so she was there with her cane. And she would get on, and usually it was a young person that would leap up and offer her seat to her. Sometimes it would be a young male, sometimes a young female. And that was always very nice, because when we got there the first night, it was almost midnight, got on a train, the last train to run, and we all had to stand for 45 minutes along with everybody else. And we tried very hard not to do that after that.
Yeah, it's very common for all the trains to be just packed with people. We tried to make a habit, if you go to the end of the train, you know, they're typically 10 to 12 cars long. If you get one of the end cars, sometimes you can find a seat, but quite often in the middle of it you can't. And that's even though the trains run every 5 minutes.
What is the structure like of the meals? I know here it's like breakfast, lunch, dinner, or whatever, but I mean, how is that whole thing worked out?
It's the same meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner. You haven't lived till you've had salad for breakfast, and salad for lunch, and salad for dinner. All of those things, and that's why at day 12, I really was tired of Japanese food. I didn't think that was possible. I like Japanese food, but I got tired of the taste of all of those other things. Miso soup, I love it. That comes all three meals. The salad, you know, a teaspoon of potato salad, 2 or 3 little pieces of the pickled vegetables, rice. I like rice, but you know, I like rice with soy sauce, and that you couldn't get soy sauce there. That's Chinese. So, I mean, there were some adjustments. I think that our best meal was the yakitori, and actually the best meal was the one we had at the automat. And I had ginger, ginger pork, 2 breakfasts in a row, because that was really wonderful stuff. And unfortunately, we didn't get to go back there. And I think the blind could easily access that because everything's in their own little bowls or trays or whatever, you know. So it's not like you have to figure out what's something on a plate. You have each place, each thing has a bowl.
Yeah, about six bowls.
About six or seven bowls. And if you have the real expensive thing, you have maybe 15 little bowls. And as Steve said, yeah, and then afterward you go out for pizza because you're not full.
I was curious, you mentioned the food. Do they really eat natto? I think it's fermented soybeans, and I've heard Americans think that is disgusting.
I didn't have any, but yeah, they do. I was planning to have eel, and the times that I could have had eel, I didn't know it was on the menu. They do a lot of octopus, which they call taco, which I knew that from Hawaii because they call it taco in Hawaii as well. A lot of fish. I didn't try fugu, which is puffer fish, the thing that's poisonous unless it's cooked exactly the right way. I didn't try that. One of the things I wanted to try and didn't have an opportunity while I was there was sukiyaki, so when I came home 3 days later, I made sukiyaki here. The best sukiyaki I've ever made. Another thing I wanted to try when I was there, but because I was with Melinda, I didn't get to try it. And that is, I wanted to go to McDonald's because the hamburger at McDonald's is breaded. It's like tonkatsu, which is basically a pork schnitzel, but the hamburger is also supposed to be breaded, and I didn't get to do that. I may have to try it at home.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's another thing that I wanted to know but didn't want to ask about McDonald's and how the food differed between the McDonald's here and there.
Well, I know the McDonald's in Hawaii, all over the islands, McDonald's has saimin, which is basically ramen soup. Can't get that anywhere else. And I'm sure in Japan, McDonald's also probably has ramen. But as I say, you know, I didn't even get to go in. When we go back, maybe I'll have an opportunity.
Did they ever have any desserts?
Dessert. Do you remember any desserts, Ron?
No.
Pl- plum wine, which could classify as a dessert. We did drink a lot of sake. I like sake. I don't care for beer. Yeah, Ron was saying that they're kind of pedestrian, like ice cream. When we were in Matsumoto and wandering around, I ran across a French bakery. And I nipped in there, and I bought pastry and stuff to last me for 2 days. Even their pastries are a little different in that, you know, the pastries may be stuffed with plum or mung bean. But, you know, I like those. So I was surprised on how avidly I enjoyed all of those. And if you want a dessert, that's the kind of shops to go. They do have French pastry shops every once in a while. I mean, and Matsumoto is not a really big town, but that was right in the train station. When we were in Matsumoto, that's also a place that is known for wasabi. Wasabi, yes. And I got to see a plant ready to be carried home.
What kind of, like you mentioned having pizza over there, what's that like? Are the same, I mean, the American brands?
Do you like tofu on your pizza?
Well, they had, you know, and they also had Subway sandwich places.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and Pizza Pete and those type of things were just typical chain stuff that people get for fast food.
Uh-huh. We just didn't do any of it. To go long distances on the train, you can buy bento lunches, and they have a vast variety of stuff that's in the bento, and you take them on the train, and you eat them as you're moving.
Let's see, what was it? Right next to the train station was a very large building. They call it Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, 20 stories high?
Yeah.
It's about a 20-story high building, and had different stores on every floor. So, you know, different. So you go in the same building, but different floor for different stores. And the top three floors had restaurants, and there were probably 20-some restaurants on those top three floors. So
usually pricey.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was there coffee or just tea?
Well, the green tea is absolutely ubiquitous. And in the hotel rooms, that's what you got. You didn't have any coffee. They do have Starbucks. Because we did go to a Starbucks in Tokyo. And Krispy Kreme donuts, yes. And you can get coffee in those places.
I bet you got tired of green tea if you drank a lot of that. They say green tea is supposed to be good for you, though.
You know, it's not my favorite. I did bring a lot of it home. Guess what people are getting for Christmas? They may never taste any, but it's amazingly how bitter it grows. You really have to drink it quick after you pour the water in. Well, thanks so much for asking some really great questions. These are all topics that I probably should have covered, but hadn't gotten down to those kind of points. I tried to make you be able to see and be with us in Japan while I put this together. It's been great sharing my trip with everybody. Thank you.